सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
Today we see the summary of chapter 3, titled as Karma Yoga, which is concluded last week. When Atma surrendered to the Lord, in the second chapter, verse 7, Lord had diagnosed Atma's problem which is stemming from the ignorance of one's true nature. Atma believed himself to be the physical body, and he was attached to his relations and friends, his guru, grandfather, etc. So Lord tried to answer him from the point of view of knowledge of the self. If the problem is ignorance, then the solution is knowledge. If the problem is darkness, then the solution is light. So since the problem of Arjuna was diagnosed by the Lord to be the ignorance of the self, we have an outer personality, the body, inner personality, the mind and intellect, then the real personality, the Atma. So the outer personality is made up of the gross physical body. Inner personality made up of the subtle body, what we call as mind and intellect. Thoughts basically. Then the real personality is the Atma or God, Godhead. So the root cause of any problem, and especially Arjuna's problem, which is many of our problem, which is attachment, is the ignorance of one's true identity, one's true nature. So in the 11th verse, when Lord started speaking in second chapter, he said, wise people do not dream. Even though you seem to be speaking words of wisdom, I see a lot of grief in you. So that means you do not have wisdom. You have the empty words. So what is that wisdom? The wisdom lies in knowing your true identity. So he taught praising knowledge of the self. In between, even though he spoke about karma yoga or science of action, the emphasis in the second chapter in total was in knowledge. Even in the concluding portion, Lord was asked by Arjuna to speak on Siddha Prajna, and Lord was emphasizing there also on knowledge. Just in between, little bit he spoke about Karma Yoga, which he called as Buddhi Yoga in the previous chapter. So therefore, Arjuna is raising a question here. Jayati chet karma naste patabhutir janatana takkim karmani gore maam niyoji yasikeshara vyamishrene va vakyena buddhim moha yasivame tadekam vadanishchitya ena shreyoga maamina. If you consider knowledge to be superior to action, and I also wanted to leave the battle and pursue knowledge, then why are you forcing me, compelling me, impelling me, trying to convince me as it were to get into action? If you consider action superior, then you can coax me to go into action. If you consider knowledge superior, then you should coax me to go into knowledge. You are considering knowledge to be superior, but forcing me to get into action. This is confusing me. I know you are trying to say something deeper. I am not able to understand. Arjuna is not accusing Krishna of confusing him. He says, as it were, my understanding is confused. Eva, Yamishreneva Vakya, as though you are not confusing me. It is my limitation. See, always the Sishya will put himself into limitation, because when the Guru is trying to say, he doesn't say, he is trying to confuse me. It is due to my level and failing to understand. So, this is my confusion. So please clear my doubt, clear my confusion. This is what Arjuna asked. With this question, the third chapter begins, Karma Yoga begins. I have said this before, again once again, I am emphasizing it here. Knowledge is never given, it is
taken.
And you take it through questions. All inventions and discoveries were possible through questioning. We don't question, so we don't invent or we don't discover anything. And if you want to discover your true nature, then you need to use the tool of questioning. Not accepting anything blindly. So Arjuna's question here is going to be answered by Lord from verse number 3. So when he started answering, he said, Lokesvin Dvidha Nishta Pura Prokta Jnanaga Jnana Yogena Sankhyana Karma Yogena Yogina. Arjuna, there is no need for you to get confused, because from the very beginning I have said, in this world there is a twofold path. Path is one thing, but it is twofold. To find Atma which is within you, you need to change your direction inward. Now the direction is outward. You need to change the direction inward. And ultimately when you go to the deepest core, you will find the Atma. The Self reveals itself there. But the problem is, for an extroverted person like you, directly to get into that state of awareness, knowledge of Atma becomes difficult. You need to be purified of the impurities. The impurities of Vatana, the impressions, your past, karmas and all those impurities are there. So therefore, for an extroverted person, path of karma is addressed. Through action, he goes beyond action. For an introverted person, he can focus and gain the knowledge. For an extroverted person's span of attention is very little. So he cannot be taken into knowledge directly. So therefore, through karma yoga, you gain the qualification to gain knowledge. And then you gain knowledge. Ultimately, the solution for ignorance is what? Knowledge. So therefore, nobody is saying action can directly give you liberation. No action can give you liberation per se. What you have to do is, you have to use the non-action to qualify to become introverted and gain the knowledge, and through knowledge you liberate yourself. So the path is only one, it is Asmin Loki Dvidha Nishta. Nishta means path, singular. But Dvidha means twofold. For extroverted people, I have given Karma Yoga. For introverted people, I have given knowledge. So you need to pursue Karma Yoga, purify yourself and gain knowledge. Then he says, just merely by abstaining from action, you cannot get Siddhi. Na karmana manarambha naishkanyam purushoshute na cha sanyas. Even through sannyas, mere renunciation, mere abstinence, you can't get the ultimate state. To get to the ultimate state, you have to go through action. You cannot go there without action. You cannot go there with action. In this context, we gave the example of pole vaulting. A pole vaulter uses the pole, takes himself to a particular height, and then drops the pole and crosses the bar. With the pole, he could not cross the bar. Without the pole, he cannot cross the bar. So similarly, you have to use the action. And when we say action here, we mean karma yoga, not karma. The discussion further is going to be on that. So, not by merely abstaining from action does human being gain actionlessness, perfection. Nor by mere renunciation, if it was that easy, all that you need to do is simply give up things. The problem is, many of us find difficulty in giving up things externally. Some of us may find it easier to give up things physically, but mentally it becomes very difficult. After giving it up, I say, I have given it up, like some people celebrate 25th anniversary of giving up a cigarette. Which means that fellow has really not given up smoking. Mentally it is still there, any day it can take over. Any day it can take over. That is why a lot of people get that. When something has left you, you are not even thinking about it. You have grown about it. You are not thinking about the time right now. It's not there in your system at all, because you have risen above. So Krishna says, still you have mentally not risen above, giving it up physically would be childish. Would amount to idiocy. So he says, none can remain inactive even for a moment without action, because the vasanas are there, the desires are there. Even if you are made to sit in one place, you will be doing something, biting nails, scratching your head, or doing something. Right? So, none can remain even for a moment. Nahi kashchit shanam api jatu tishtatya karma prit kāyate yavasya karma sarvam prakriti jai gunahi. The nature of every human being, which is made up of three gunas, will make the person act. Either tamasic or rajasic or sattvic gunas is making everybody do something or the other. Without action, none can remain. If you rest, you will rust. Meaning, inaction is death. Action is the insignia of life, inaction is death. Water flowing constantly in a river, it is fresh, it can produce electricity from it. Whereas a pond, water is stagnant over there, over a period of time, it evaporates, it collects dirt, gives foul smell, it becomes useless. So therefore, constantly one must flow, one must act, because the desires are there. If you stop acting, mentally keep on thinking about the object, you become an hypocrite. Verse number 6. Karmendriyani samyavya ya aste manasasmaran indriyatam nimudatma mityacharasa uchyate. Very powerful words Lord Krishna is using. He says, if you restrain your organs of action, karmendriyas, means you don't do any action, you stop acting, simply sit down. But mentally, karmendriyani samyavya yaha, means whoever sits down. Aste manasa smaran indriyata. In the mind goes on thinking about indriya loka, indriya vishaya, about the sense objects, ruminating over the sense objects. But where is he sitting? In front of God. Physically, he is residing near God. But where is the mind? In the advertisement we saw in the television, Christmas sale, 50% off, pure diamond, not even little bit, pure taste-based. Mind is thinking about that advertisement, but physically he is seated near the Lord. Krishna says, such people are called as hypocrites. So the spiritual upliftment is free yourself from the attachments at the mental level, not from the physical level. Very rarely a person understands these things, because a lot of us give up our possessions, but we retain our possessiveness. right? Physically you give up the issue, but mentally you retain your possessiveness. So this is what a lot of youngsters condemn. They see this and they say this hypocrisy is there. And why do we have to get into that? So they think that religion makes them hypocritical. Religion doesn't make them hypocritical. What makes you hypocrite is your non-understanding of religion. Non-understanding is okay. Maybe. Not understanding and misunderstanding. A lot of people will say, oh, you are only 25, you are only 30. Why are you going to Bhagavad Gita class now? You should go to Gita class and all that later on. After 60, when you do not know what else to do in life, then you can be. Right? So why do you want to go to Gita class now? They fail to understand that here Krishna is saying, Nahi kaschit shanam api jatu tishtatya karma krit karyate yavashat karma sarva prakriti jai gunai. None can remain even for a second without action. So in the Bhagavad Gita, there is a chapter, this chapter, third chapter, dedicated purely for action. Would you study that after you have physically become useless? When you can't even go out of your house? What is the point in studying about how to act when you can't act? When you can't see, when you can hardly see, when you hardly can move your hands? There's no use, right? So Gita is not forcing you to take up sannyas. Gita never does that. In fact, Arjuna wanted to renounce the whole obligations and run away. Krishna pulled him back and emphasized on this. So he said, if you physically renounce and mentally go on thinking about it, you become a hypocrite. Rather than that, Krishna's advice in verse number 7 is, he who restraining the senses by the mind. O Arjuna engages his afghans of action in yoga of action, without attachment he exerts. This is what he expands and explains further. But what he is saying here is, instead of doing this, reverse the whole thing. First and sixth, what were you doing? Physically, you did not act, but mentally you thought about the object. Instead, he says, physically you act, but mentally dedicated to the Lord. In this, I gave the example of a devotee preparing laddus or some sweet or whatever to offer it to the Lord. From morning, she gets up early morning. Before that, previous day, she had got to the shop, bought the necessary ingredients, made sure that she bought the best because it is going to be offered to the Lord. So all along, where is the thought? Lord, 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 Lord is seated. Right? All along, Lord is seated. And then she cleanses herself physically, completely, she takes bath and then makes sure she's, you know, everything is in order and then starts cooking. And while cooking, where is the focus? The smell is coming, the aroma is coming. It has gone into her system through the nostrils. But she is not lost herself in the smell. All along, this is done for the Lord. So mind is with the Lord, body is in the action. This is the way you free yourself from the world. By denying yourself, your mind will only go more into the world. So a devotee is preparing, she is engaging her organs of action in the action, but her mind is dedicated to the Lord. So this example we gave to make you understand verse number 7. So at the moment I have these desires. If I have to cleanse myself of these desires which are between me and divinity, I can't shun my desires, I have to direct my desires. Shunning my desires only make my attention more towards desires. The day you are told to fast, you think of food more. Right? One day before, the fasting starts, you taste everything. Because you do not know, suppose if you die halfway through fasting, you would die without tasting. So you say, let me taste all these things and then get into fasting. I'm not saying everybody does that, but very often this is what mind is at least craving to do. So it is not denial, it is not through denial. In fact, denial only increases. By constant thinking of the object, you have formed the attachment to the object. So now it is not taking away the object, but slowly taking the mind to some higher realm so that the lower falls itself. Remember, attachment from the lower will not fall by itself. You will have to take your mind towards higher. When the mind takes the higher, the lower will fall itself. So you don't give up action, but you do your actions in the spirit of yajna, with awareness. And that is exactly what he explains from now on. So he says, even the maintenance of your body is not possible without action. Therefore, always engage in action. But understand, engaging in action without the yajna spirit binds you. But when you do action in yajna spirit, you free yourself. So therefore, what is yajna? Karma plus yajna spirit is equal to karma yoga. Karma without that yajna spirit is action that binds you. Karma plus yajna spirit is action that liberates you. So inaction is never a solution. It never talks about it. Compared to people who are inactive, people who are engaged in activity, even though not in spirit of yajna, is better. Like the poem Pineapple and the Bee says, with hopeless wish one looks and lingers. It is inactive people. Mentally they are lingering. So what is happening is, since they are not doing anything physically, they don't get it. Mentally they are thinking about it, their desire is increasing. Desire is increased so much, and physically they haven't got the object. Is it hell or not? And the other fellow, he says, with hopeless wish one looks and lingers, one breaks the glass and cuts his finger. Means other fellow acts, but acts with so much of desire, he gets the object, but his desire is now gone 10 times more. What he got compared to his desire is nothing. So he feels deceived. He's never satisfied. Right? He never enjoys. He's only accumulating, he never enjoys. Therefore, the poet says, but they whom truth and wisdom lead can gather and eat from it. So therefore, how do you extricate yourself from the thraldom of action, which is further increase of vasanas? Technically put, action produces vasanas only when you engage in action without awareness. We discussed about the chronology of action here, if you remember. From vasanas come thoughts. From thoughts come desires. From desire come action. You have vasana for studying the Gita. Therefore the thought of studying the Gita is there. Then you got the SMS. Gita class is there on so and so day. Desire formed. I must go. Then you started planning. Then you have now come to attending Gita class, the action. But now, while you are doing the action, if you are here doing the action without awareness, thinking about the object, and the mind is gone into the object while you are acting, you are functioning like a sleepwalker. One set of people who are sleeping, other set of people who are sleepwalking. So what is happening? You are going on thinking about the object, you are only going to increase the vasanas further. Instead, while acting now, what are you supposed to do? Act consciously. So here I gave the example of playing with my mala as I am talking. Remember those examples?
As I'm talking, when I'm playing with my mala, what am I doing? I can make knots. But now if I want to remove these knots, can I remove these knots as I'm talking to you? Now, as I'm doing this, I must become aware fully. With awareness, I can remove the knots. So the knots are not because of action, the knots are because of lack of awareness. The problem is in our diagnosis, we wrongly diagnose that I am stressed because of action. So therefore we believe that jada action, jada stress. Come action, come stress. No action, no stress. Therefore what do? Take holiday. And go to some quiet place. But for a while you are okay, the desire again comes and again you get back. So therefore Krishna says, yajna activities don't bind you, activities that are performed other than yajna activities bind you. So then he says, from the very beginning I have given this, I have spoken about yajna activity. By doing yajna activity, you appease the gods. I've said this before, in Hinduism, the scriptures emphasize that they don't emphasize that there is only one God. They emphasize that there is only God. Remember the difference. They don't emphasize that there is one God. They emphasize the fact that there is only God. Anything that you see is only God. If you see anything else other than God, then it is your illusion. Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. In the dream, everything is nothing but waker's mind. But the dreamer doesn't see it as waker's mind. He sees it as different objects. Some of them he likes, some of them he dislikes, some of them he considers as enemies, some of them he considers as his friends, benefactors, malefactors, etc., etc., etc. But as wakers, you know that the entire dream was nothing but one waker's mind. So, when he uses God, Devas, he is talking about different manifested powers which supplement and complement each other. He is trying to tell us here that if you observe carefully, you will understand that you are not here alone. There are so many other beings also. When you go to the depth, everything is one, but from the surface, the difference is something. When you look at from the waves point of view, there are many waves. But you look at from the ocean, there is only one. So Arjuna, as a wave, understand that you are one of many waves, which essentially is part of the ocean and essentially is ocean. Therefore, you have to do something supplementing and complementing the other aspects of the world. So when you do what you have to do without any ego, you are doing it entirely as a contribution, then the other parts are also functioning like that. Dharma harmony is maintained. We have given example of the body. Every part, different parts of the body has certain role to play. Right? So each part doing its duty supplements and complements with the other. Thus the dharma of the body is maintained, the health is maintained. But if one part were to assume a superiority complex or an inferiority complex and stops acting, while I am going on filtering all the dirt, the kidney starts thinking, I am only filtering all the dirt constantly, no award is given, no best worker, staff, employee of the company or anything of that sort is given, so I will stop functioning. Let me show to the other people how you bought a bag. I am going on strike. What will happen? The entire system gets affected and finally the very kidney loses itself. Therefore, he says, parasparam bhavayantaha. Sattvic people understand this. They keep their motto in life. What? These three you must remember. In verse number 12 and 13, he talked about this. He says, sattvic people eat the remnants of sacrifice. Their focus is in giving, not in taking. They don't think in terms of what I get, they think in terms of what I give. What I have to do, what is to be done. Having done their contribution, what comes as a result, they enjoy. Whereas a sadistic person, he says he cooks but eats sin, meaning he does actions thinking in terms of what I will get, what I will get, what I will get, what I will get. The whole thing he is doing, but inside he is only thinking of taking. You can live happily when you breathe in and breathe out, when there is a perfect balance between breathing and breathing out. Suppose you say, I will only breathe in, no breathing out business. May not say, sit, lay. Please try, but not in the class. Somewhere else. Then, you know, I don't want any inquiry here. But if you try such things, you understand it is not possible to live. Right? So, rajasic person's focus is what? Taking. Even though he is acting, he is doing something with something up. His sleeves. He's all the time thinking, will I get that, will I get this, will I get this? And desires are never satiated. The more you fulfill, more they will ask. So rajasic person cooks but eats sin, means mental agitations. Then the tamasic fellow is, his attitude is what? His attitude is, he is like a thief, says Krishna. Everybody else work, he steals from them. He is without producing. Stena eva saha means he is like a thief. Let the others work and I steal their byproducts of their work. I will not work. He doesn't want to work. He wants to get everything free. He is a blesser of the society. So this is how three people are there. So tamasic fellow is also agitated and unhappy. Rajasic fellow is also agitated and unhappy. The only fellow who is happy, enjoys what he's got and gets more is sattvic person, because he follows the principle of yajna, because he understands that from the deeper point of view, everybody is same atma. From the surface, there are different talents. We need to supplement and complement each other. So in verse number 14 and 15 next, Lord Krishna talked about this yajna cycle. He says, annat bhavanti bhutani. How does beings come? Beings come from food. Pachanya anna sambhavaha. From where does food come? Rain. Where does rain come? Yajna bhavanti pachanya. Rain comes from yajna. When everybody does what they are supposed to do, then there is rain. If for your personal commercial reasons you go on destroying the nature, will there be rain? You destroy all the plants. You are not functioning in the spirit of yajna. Right? You want more just for yourself. This is not growth, this is called swelling. Remember, we differentiated between swelling and growth. Therefore, what happens in the case of rajasic person, he is accumulating, he is swelling. This is not growth. Growth of one person cannot be at the cost of the society. If it is at the cost of the society, it is swelling. Cancer is like that. Right? So they become cancerous. Rajasic and tamasic people are cancerous cells in the society. So he says, yajna activities make sure rain is there.
And the, how does yajna activity happen?
From Veda, Brahma, the four heads of Brahma represents the Vedas. Those who have knowledge, with higher knowledge, they clearly understand, with clarity, they function with yajna. And what is the root of Vedas? Brahman. So by following yajna, you can go to Brahman. By following yajna, you can increase your material wealth. So for both material prosperity as well as spiritual upliftment, you have to adhere to the principle of yajna. And then he said, those who do not follow the most weak does set in motion. 16, this is also very important, verse 16.
Those, what is yajna that he is defining? It is the
doing what you are supposed to do, keeping the welfare of the whole in mind, not always identifying yourself with the part, understanding yourself as a part of the total and functioning from that spirit is called yajna. When you put the path before the total, it is like putting the cart before the horse. Will the cart move? Putting the interest of individual over the total. Right? So it is yajna spirit, dedicated actions. He explains it slowly. So just those who do not follow the wheel thus set in motion. They living in sin, rejoicing in sin, rejoicing in the senses, they destroy themselves. Many times when we have nothing to do, what do? Call up somebody and gossip. Or go and gamble. Idle mind is a devil's workshop. Compared to that, somebody who is doing something is better. So in other words, what he is saying is, those who do not follow this higher principle in life, those who do not understand this, they live in their senses, they do everything for their enjoyment, they destroy the senses also, the capacity of the senses also lose as you indulge. And the desires go on increasing, they live in sin. They lose themselves in the temporary pleasures, it seems as though they are getting something, but finally they destroy themselves. He says they live in vain. So therefore he says in 17, man who rejoices in the self, is satisfied in the self, is content in the self alone, for him there is nothing to be done. Meaning somebody who is functioning from the level of awareness, from the depth, from the core of his personality, working for a higher goal, he doesn't do anything for himself. So when you have reached the goal, you have no means, no requirement for the means. The requirement for the means is there only till you reach the goal. When you have reached the self inside, the Atma inside, there is nothing to be done. For a person who is in the dream, when he is woken up, has he got anything to do with the dream? There is nothing to be done. So somebody who has achieved the inner Atma, functioning from the level of awareness, is in constant happiness. All of us do something or don't do something only to find happiness. But somebody who has found happiness in awareness, he has nothing to do to achieve happiness. All his actions will flow through him out of happiness. This verse should not be misunderstood thinking that since he has reached happiness, actions stop. In fact, in him the actions flow irresistibly, because now he is not trying to do something to find, when a person is trying to do something to find something, then if he is told, here you cannot find it, he will stop that action. Whereas he has found it, now he doesn't do anything to find anything, he does actions out of happiness. So he says, people like Janaka and all those people, they also acted in the world in the spirit of Loka Sangraha. This is a word which you need to remember. Loka means world. Sangraha means welfare of the world. Always understand that I am a spoke in the wheel of life. Don't put yourself at the center. Put the total at the center. But the problem with the ego is, it puts itself at the center. Always an egoistic person is at the center. Both the superiority complex fellow and the other fellow who suffers from inferiority complex, both put themselves in the center. Whereas here he says, welfare of the total. When the food is prepared and kept on the table, it is prepared and kept on the table for everybody. So when you serve yourself from the food on the table, you are aware that there are others also. You understand that awareness is never lost. That is Loka Sangraha. Loka Sangraha should not be construed as desire to save or serve world, as if world is in dependence of your service. I've said this before many times. If I'm not here, somebody else will come and teach Gita, or you will go somewhere else and learn Gita. Teaching Gita, I benefit. I don't know whether you benefit, I hope you benefit, but I am benefiting. Right? At least I am reminding myself constantly. So the idea is, Loka Sangraha should not be construed as desire to serve the world. Understand that there are others also. And with that awareness, with that mindfulness, you always function. So he says, yadyat acharati shreshtaha tatta deva itara janaha sayat pramanam kurute lokasthadanu vartate. Even though you have arrived, you have reached the goal, you are not dependent on anything, but you understand that you could become a wrong example for the society. You do not want to be a wrong example to anybody. So even inadvertently, even though you have no intention to be the wrong example, and since you have attained the goal, and if you stop acting, you would become the example for others. So he says, people follow the leader blindly. They don't follow what you say, they follow what you do. Arjuna, you are a leader. All of us are leaders in some place or the other. If you are not a leader at the office, you are probably a leader at home. You have kids to grow, looking up to you. So therefore, understand this psychology, that people follow your actions, not what you say. But the problem is, we lecture, we don't do. In fact, the emphasis is here only in doing, not in talking. The emphasis is here in walking the talk and talking the walk. So he says, Arjuna, I have nothing to do. I have reached the goal. I have reached the Atma. I am constantly aware that I am Atma. I have no identification with this body, mind, intellect. Yet I engage myself in action because I do not want to become the wrong example. Therefore he says, only do, never lecture. Make your actions more attractive. Through your actions, you attract people. Knowledge is never given, it is always taken. By the way you live, you should make the actions more attractive, then the people will flock, they will follow. So therefore he says, understand how everything happens. Ignorant person will continue to be ignorant because he is overpowered, colored by his gunas. A wise person should not go and disturb the ignorant person. You see somebody ignorantly attached to action or attached to inaction, and you are a wise person, that's what you think. But if you continue to criticize that person, and you may forcefully take him to action, but you disturb him. Instead of that, what are you supposed to do? As a wise person, you should focus in doing your action in the spirit of yajna, then slowly they will also think that. In tennis, they call this double fault. Like that, they also do double faults. And in the final, when they do the analysis, this fellow's service is very good, but he lost the set. Why? Because he made a lot of unforced errors and double faults. Similarly, we may have talent, but the problem what we will do is double fault. What is that? We will lecture and not live. And children are watching. You are teaching your child not to speak lies. And when somebody is calling, you are telling your wife, tell him I am not there. Child is watching this. Not listening to what you said to the child earlier. But this child is very acutely watching. So therefore, the Gita says, don't unsettle the minds of the ignorant. Make your actions more attractive. They have gunas. The gunas are there in them, and that gunas have colored them. So learn to separate the gunas from Atma. You are not the gunas, you are separate from the gunas. Like today you see so many thoughts coming and going, coming and going. Thoughts have come and gone. Now new set of thoughts have come. If you were those thoughts, then you should have gone. You are not those thoughts. You are like the space in which clouds have come and gone. You are not the clouds, you are like that space. So you are the Atma, you are not the gunas. Therefore, when you see an ignorant person attached to action and functioning ignorantly, you will not criticize the person. You clearly understand he lacks wisdom and therefore he is attached to the gunas. The moment you are criticizing, it is a clear indication what? You have not understood a word of Bhagavad Gita, a word of spirituality. Swami Ram Tirtha puts criticism as the number one obstacle in the path of spiritual education. He talks about spiritual obstacles in the path of spiritual education. And the first obstacle he talks about is criticism. If you say, I am trying to evolve myself to spirituality, what is that spirit which is beyond gunas? And therefore, you should be able to see that happening there also. It is the gunas that is functioning. Water is colorless. It is appearing green because of the bottle's color which happens to be green. A crystal is kept on a green cloth. The crystal appears to be green. The crystal is colorless. So similarly, a wise person, when he looks at an ignorant person attached, he will not criticize. If he is criticizing, what does it mean? He is also in the same level. Therefore, the poem Turkey Man, the poet says, ere you remark another sin, with thine own conscience and look within, control thy own voracious will, not for a breakfast nations. So, even after studying Bhagavad Gita, today we are concluding this chapter 3 with the summary. At least now we should understand, mind may want to criticize, mind might want to gossip, but you should exercise your self-control and say, no. What did I study? Atma is different from Gunas. What's the point in criticizing anybody?
But the act can be criticized.
Act, when you criticize, you are not criticizing the person.
Yeah.
You are an act also. Act of whom are you criticizing? For example, an act of a child to play with toys is permissible for a child. But if you find adults playing with toys, that is criticized. Are you with me? So therefore, if you are understanding that this person is like this because he is still a child, physically he is grown up, but mentally he is still a child, he is allowed the gunas to take over. So therefore, gunas and atma, if you separate, you will not condemn the ignorant person, you will attract the ignorant person by living the knowledge. And what is that knowledge? He summarizes in verse number 30. Verse number 30, he said, is the blueprint of right action. The technique of right action, the summary of karma yoga. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya. Adhyatma chetasa. Nirashir nirmama bhutva. Yudhyasva vigatachvaraha. I told you certain verses you try to memorize without putting in effort to memorize, you can memorize. How? By just chanting 5 verses every day and repeat those 5 verses for 5 days and go to the next 5 verses, which is what we are doing, right? Every time we meet, we are chanting the next 5 verses. So when you constantly chant, and if you are attending the class and studying regularly, certain verses automatically get memorized. And this verse, you must put in little effort to memorize. This verse, verse number 21, verse number 6, verse number 14, 15, verse number 21, verse number 30. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigatajvara. Yudhyasva, you have to fight. Fight means action. In the context of battle, Arjuna's obligation happens to be fighting. So when he says yudhyasva means duty, action. Fight. How? Doing is a must. But doing in a particular way, it becomes karma yoga. In another way, it becomes karma. Karma binds you, karma yoga liberates you. So what is that karma yoga? He says, Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya. In me, renounce all actions. Adhyatma chetasa. Adhyatma chetasa means awareness of Atma. Thinking of me, renounce all actions in me. Renouncing all actions in me with thoughts resting on me. Thoughts resting on me means what? Objective actions, not subjective actions. Not actions done with involvement, not actions done with lack of awareness. Do an action with a total awareness, mindfulness. I am Atma from that real personality point of view. And I have inner personality which are thoughts. Then I have this outer personality, the body, which is as per my thoughts. Then further extended outside environment or world, that is further, which is also as per my thoughts only given. So when you understand this, then you are doing actions with total awareness. Then, Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya, in me renounce all actions. I told you this, me means God. Where is God? Where is Atma? Atma is everywhere. God is everywhere. So you have to dedicate your actions for the entire universe, that is what is the action done for the Lord. Action done for the Lord doesn't mean you go and do something in the mandir. When you come back in the world, you will be selfish. Jodi of karna, do it in the spirit of dedication, what we call as arpana bhava. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa. With awareness, with arpana bhava, dedication. Then nirashir, without any desire, hope. What he is saying is, he has already covered that in 47th verse chapter 2. Karmani eva adhikara mahaphaleshu tadasara. There he said, you have right only to action, never to the fruit. What it means is, you are part of the portal. So you are also doing action, the portal is also doing action. The result depends on the sum total of your action and the total's action. Are you with me? No doubt, you are also a very important factor in action. But the result depends on so many other factors over which you have no control. Right? Suddenly something happens in Delhi and everybody goes on strike. Are you with me? Which you could do nothing. You have been doing everything perfectly well. A last minute something goes on, that is not in your hands. Right? Because of this, the result happened to be something different. What you could do? Therefore, he says, accept prasada buddhi. Jo bhi milegi, after doing what was within my control, I must understand that I am part of the total and the result depends on the total, not just my action. Therefore, I develop this attitude of acceptance. Right? So, awareness, arpana buddhi, arpana bhav, acceptance, prasada buddhi, and then nirmamaha. Your actions was a drop in the ocean. Why focus so much on it? Understand that you also contributed. You don't have to say, I contributed nothing in a chapter. Kuch nahi, a lot of people keep talking like this. This is, you don't have to be falsely much. Right? If a team has scored so much runs, I also contributed whatever it is, 300, whatever. Right? But understand that it is a drop in the ocean. The mind, no. It is humility. So awareness, dedication, arpanabha, acceptance, prasada buddhi and humility. Nirmamatva. Everything mine. Being calculated in the whole thing. Then he says, vigata jwara. Without excitement, without this fever of doing. Fever means, fever comes from desire. When it is unchecked without awareness. Right? Desirous actions lead to greed and anger. When you are angry, what happens? The temperature of the body increases. The blood pressure increases. Fever is any increase in the temperature, right? So fever means excitement. What is that? Desire. So without your personal desire being given a direction, don't do an action. Always give a direction, then it will not become fear. Otherwise it becomes greed or jealousy or anger. All these are fevers, various fevers. So therefore he says, you with yourself get a jwara. So therefore what is karma yoga? Karma yoga is action plus awareness plus right attitude.
So when your actions are intermixed with awareness and attitude, proper attitude, then it becomes karma yoga. When this awareness is missing or right attitude is missing, it becomes karma, then it binds you. Then he says, those people who follow this advice of mine with shraddha, without caviling, they benefit. Those who do not follow this, they are doomed. It is very highly condemned that Krishna is criticizing. He is saying they will be doomed. He is saying it is a law. Gravitational force is there. Agar you adhere to the gravitational force and function, you benefit from it. You say, hell with gravitational force, you will be in hell. When Krishna says this, why are you taking personal and saying this? How can you talk like this? He is simply saying, this is a law. Those who follow this get benefited. Those who do not follow get affected. So then he said, those who do not follow, even though they have knowledge, the restraints cannot help because the mind's tendency is to turn outwardly because of the attractions, raga and dvesha. The attractions are there, available to the senses. It is easily goes that side. As you are studying Bhagavad Gita, your mind has gone somewhere. Right? Sometimes we keep on looking at different people because I know after some time this person's mind has gone somewhere. Now let me focus on somebody else. And somebody else's mind goes somewhere, then I go somewhere. In other words, you please understand, even though you are trying to gain the knowledge is still not established. And the mind has a tendency to go outwardly due to its nature. The attachment and aversion. So it is attachment and aversion for the objects of the senses abide in the senses. Therefore you understand, you have been constantly taking your sense all the time to a particular direction. Now you are trying to change it this direction. Will it happen immediately? That is why they say, unlearning is more difficult than learning. Any sportsman will understand this. If you have been playing wrong shots, that's why they say you should play test cricket and then go to T20. Suppose if you go to T20 and in T20, you know, the mistakes will go here and there. And especially nowadays, everything is packed in favor of batsmen. You know, the short version there, more in favor of batsmen. Even the boundary is shorter. Anything you look at. So then what happens? Unlearning becomes difficult. Because you've learned wrong way. So the senses have been constantly going in this direction towards the attractions. Now it is so well established in it. Now with knowledge you are trying to turn this side, it doesn't go. So Arjuna is asking, what is it? Before that, very important verse 35 says, therefore follow your Swadharma. Paradharma is frightening. Paradharma is alien nature. You, even though it is attractive, even though it is well recognized, credited, awarded, rewarded, don't go by that, because in the long run it is fraught with fear. Whereas Swadharma will be like real flower. Even if you live few days, you will live with that original fragrance of yours, with very original celebration. Whereas a plastic flower might exist for a long period of time, but it has no fragrance of its own. Therefore he says, don't go get attracted by the senses, by the world outside. Look within, go by your Swadharma. Paradharma bhayavaha. Swa means one's own, dharma means nature. Para means alien, dharma means nature. Instead of para dharma, follow your dharma. What is your nature? Dedicate that swadharma for the welfare of the total. Here I said that aarti that we sing after we have done the prayer, in which we say, Tera tujhko arpan. This dharma which is there in me is also from you only, na? Garden is yours, I am only the flower. So what has been taken from the garden is offered back to you. Your garden offered back to you. So therefore he says, swadharma activities you follow, not paradharma activity, but that swadharma activity also should be followed in the lokasangraha spirit. So when he said this, Arjuna has a question. What is that? Why is it that even though I do not want to do certain things, something is forcing me, but by what compelled impel does man commit sin? Though against his wish, O Vasudeva, constrained as it were. There seems to be something forcing, and usually we are very happy if the answer is something outside. Your mother-in-law, your daughter-in-law, your wife, your husband, your children, your friends, your boss, your subordinates. We expect that. Krishna says, none of them. He says, Kama esha krodha esha rajoguna samupamaha maha ashana maha papa. Ashana means great consumer, great eater. Desire is the greatest consumer, kama. Desire is attention outward. Love is attention inward. Bhakti is attention inward. Desire is attention outward. So he says the problem is you are looking outside, not within. The senses interact with the sense objects and they are dragged. And the mind is dragged because the senses is dragged. I mean the intellect is dragged. Buddhi is also dragged. Before clarity was there, now clarity is gone. Why? Because it is covering, the desires are covering your discrimination. How do they cover? They cover like smoke covering fire, like dust covering mirror, like child covered in the womb, embryo covered in the womb. Smoke covering fire, it doesn't allow the fire's radiance to come out. Dust covering the mirror, it doesn't allow the reflection. Similarly, the desires inside cover you completely, then the discrimination is taken away. And where is it seated? How does it come to you? Through the senses. How does it come to you? Via the senses. Because you are constantly opening your eyes and looking outward, your focus is outside. Right? Therefore, he says, first you have to control your senses. Since it's coming through the senses, first you have to control senses. Dhamma. Without sense control, there is no spiritual practice possible. But you want to have sense indulgence also and gain this knowledge also, then you will be like a hot plate on which water is sprinkled, quickly develops. In order for you to benefit, you need to practice sense control. So he says, since it enters through the senses, first O Kauntheya, wisdom is covered by this constant enemy in the form of desire. Therefore what you do? The seeds, what are they? Senses, mind and intellect. You have to have spiritual practices at all these three levels. So the spiritual practice at the level of senses is Dhamma. Then at the level of mind is Kshama. Then at the level of intellect is Viveka. Through sense control, through mind control, and then through discrimination, Viveka, constantly reflecting as to what is permanent, what is impermanent, what is true security, what is not true security. How can something which is in itself impermanent give security? It's not possible. Security cannot be given from outside 100%. So if you understand this, by constant practice of sadhana, you will be able to
turn your mind inward. When you give some exercises to the kids to do, their attention goes on. So what do you do? Oh, your attention has gone somewhere. Could you leave that? No, no, try it. But then it becomes too much, then you say, leave it. But by constant practice, even the mind which was going outward can be turned inward. But it has to be done constantly. And to turn inward, you must understand the higher aspects of life. So he talks about the subtler aspects. So he says, greater than the senses is the mind. Senses are great, no doubt. But senses, greater than the senses is mind. Greater than the mind is intellect. Greater than the intellect is Atma. So therefore, you need to practice sense control, mind control, viveka, discrimination, all that. But also you have to gain jnanam of the higher. By constantly doing this sadhana of control, withdrawal and knowledge. One side you do control of these things, the other side you take knowledge, and according to your capacity, don't overdo it and do it consistently. And this is the way you can slowly turn your mind inward. And when your mind gets completely established inside, then as it is thinking, it becomes. By now constantly thinking of the world, you have become the world. By constantly thinking of the body, you have become the body. Even when you look at somebody, oh, you lost weight, oh, you put on weight, oh, you become old. The focus is there on the body. Therefore you become that. What is your home page in your laptop? Is your constant first thing, share market page. I don't know what page you have, right? What is your home page? By constantly thinking, you have become that. So now you have to consistently and constantly do. Once in a while, it will not help. Once in a week, we meet here. But that will not help. After that, what are you doing at home? So it is not possible by doing it sporadically, but remember, any growth is not possible doing it sporadically. You need to bring in a consistency and discipline. So it is sense control. Without sense control you can't do it. And only doing that and without gaining knowledge also is not sensible. Both has to be done sensibly. In fact, a lot of people do sense control senselessly. That amount to sense denial, then their mind will go all the time into senses.
This is my question, Swami. When you say sense control, it means you can't stop your senses. You are getting input from your senses. So just with an awareness of impermanence or sense control?
Regulation. Also regulation. When you contact with awareness. So that you don't under it or over it. And regulate it also. Not constantly eating. Every time I am eating with awareness, but I am only eating. So regulate karo. You understand? The whole thing has to go in regulation, systematic.
So to expand karo. Just expand sense control a little bit.
No, lending purpose to yourself. In the sense, am I eating to live or living to eat?
That is very easy.
No, it's not easy. Easy to say.
No, but supposing visual, because visual.
Control will come with awareness and questioning. Any control. So therefore you question. Now, why am I getting into this? For example, even this Gita class. Why am I going to Gita class? Not because I don't know what to do on these days. So better to go in Gita class than somewhere else. Going to Gita class will bring me total health, which will help me to be a better human being. I will be able to bring up my kids better. I will be able to do my business better. I will be able to live peacefully and prosperously. So etc. etc. Therefore, but then I get stuck with Gita class.
then what happens? How, why, how not to do this? By questioning, by analyzing, right? So you ask, how do you bring control? You see the repercussions, you feel a fear, you say, why what happened? I had one more. So next time, before I'm eating, I ask this question. I pause and ponder and then plunge. Three-piece solution. I don't plunge like that. Before every action, before any contact, I pause. Why do I do this? What for? What for I am in need of a car? I see somebody having latest iPhone 5. And my mind is saying, I should also have. Because everybody is having it. I'm getting pressure. So what do you do? Question, why do I want iPhone 5? You understand? Then slowly, this is pausing and pondering. That will bring control. There are other methods for sense control that is spoken about. Focusing on the breath, yoga, you know, good food, etc., etc. Being with people who have higher thinking. All these things. So any control will come only when you pause and question. Otherwise no control. Mind will take over. So thus, slowly, slowly, by, like I told you, both, it's like two petals of a cycle. You have to gain jnana with sense control. Only sense control, no jnana, no help. Only studying, 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 no sense control, that also will not help. Both should go and in hand. Thus, you will be able to turn your mind inward, and by turning your mind inward, you will be able to absorb the knowledge further. And as your focus is constantly on the Atma, finally you become the Atma. Thus, through Karma Yoga, you go to Jnana Yoga, and you gain the knowledge. पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमाधाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः